Now we're going to shift gears. We're going to talk about miracles that I see in practice, and Rusty sees in practice. You know, when we went to chiropractic college, we heard about miracles. And at that particular point in time, we couldn't quite wrap our minds around that because we hadn't experienced any of those miracles ourselves. You know, we heard other professors and other doctors talk about them, but we hadn't experienced them. But once you get into practice, you really see how powerful God is in the lives of people and how He can heal people. You know, we use the term great healers. There are great healers out there. And we serve the greatest healer. And that's why chiropractors, especially Christian chiropractors, are able to do what they're able to do in office with patients. Because not only are they using their own diagnostic skills, they're using God-driven diagnostic skills, insight that God gives them. You know, I've heard Rusty say many times, and he's told me this and texted me this, he said, you know, I've got a patient. He says, I don't know what to do with them. Could you imagine that? A doctor doesn't know what to do with a patient? We're telling on ourselves, but it's the truth. There are some people that are so inexplicably complex that you have no clue what to do with them. Everything that you think should work doesn't work. And you say, well, how can this be? How could God design a body that is so complex like that and then not giving me any insight to be able to help that patient? So, you know what we do? We turn you over to prayer. We turn you over to God, and then we wait for God to give us insight. And that's how we tackle some of these tough cases. One of the most influential men in my life has been Dr. Euland. Dr. Euland is the originator of nutrition response testing, which is on the top of your sheet there. I started in chiropractic, as I told you earlier, in 1981. And in 1981 through 1988, I was able to do as well as any other chiropractor as far as getting sick people well. But if you talk to any doctor, he will tell you that 20% of the patients that he gets, he can't do anything with. And I thought to myself, well, what about that other 20%? You know, 80% is a great success rate. When you look at success in medicine, 20% is a great success rate in medicine. But 80% is a great success rate in chiropractic. So I thought to myself, what about that other 20%? And God said, well, maybe you ought to look in another area. You know, when I came out of chiropractic college, we talked about something called the triad of health, and Rusty's touched on it in here already. And at each apex of the triangle, that represents a component of your health. We call this over here structural. In other words, how are you put together? Skeletal, muscular, nervous. Over here is chemical or biochemical. How are you put together with all of the chemicals in your body, all the hormones, all the enzymes? How do you function with that? And then at the apex of this is your emotional or your spiritual health up here. Now you'll notice that the triangle is equilateral. It's supposed to be equilateral. Don't mind my drawing there, but it's supposed to be equilateral, and each component of the triangle is supposed to have an equal component or part or portion. But the top of the triangle is the spiritual aspect or the emotional aspect. So we can take a patient who is a wreck physically and structurally and look at them and see if they're a wreck spiritually. If they're a wreck spiritually or emotionally, we might have to start up here before we can get results over here or results over here. So that is what makes the diagnostic part of it so very difficult, because you don't know what the overflow is from this part down into these areas here. Well, when I was practicing those first 8 years, I was over here in the structural component most of the time. I wasn't in the chemical component, and I wasn't in the spiritual component. So I thought to myself, well, what else? What am I missing? And then I remembered this diagram, and I thought, well, maybe I should be looking over here. So that's when I started looking into the area of nutrition. Because you are what you eat, whether you realize it or not. You are what you eat. So if you eat trash, you have a trashy body. I don't want to upset anybody, but that's the way it really is. I mean, if you eat Twinkies all day or you drink Pepsi all day, you have a Pepsi Twinkie body. It's simple. I mean, it's very simple. Now, when Rusty and I went to school, we didn't know jack diddly about nutrition. We thought pop and candy bars and sugar and flour, well, white sugar, flour, all that stuff is great. But then we found out how far off the beaten path we were. And, you know, for the first 8 years, I spent my time right here in structure trying to get people well, which I could do. But then that 20% always bothered me. So then I started thinking, well, maybe I should expand my comprehension, my understanding of the human body, so I can begin to treat over here too. When I started treating over here, I started getting in that other 10 or 15% better and making them well. And that's when I got started into nutrition. And over the course of that time, I actually come to see that several things had occurred. Number one, that I was actually in the end of an era as far as people who have good bodies and ate well. All of this started to change in the 1930s and 1940s when, guess what? The scientists got involved in food preservation. When science got involved in food preservation is when you started seeing food that was produced that would create malnourishment in humans. So when preservation took place, they were giving you products that had all of the nutritional components removed or reduced to preserve shelf life. It's very simple. So when you think about the lifespan of your parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, most likely those people were agrarian or agriculturally related. And they grew their own food, or they grew a lot of it, they grew their own meat, so on and so forth. So they weren't being overtaken by the problem of preservation of foods. But when that goes on in a culture, it weakens the gene pool over a period of time, and that gene weakness is transmitted to the offspring, and it goes on and on. And then when we look in the 1950s and 60s, we see the other great travesty, which was the advent of what we call petrochemical farming. Petrochemical farming was the introduction of pesticides and those types of things, herbicides. And when that is introduced into a food supply, then that alters the people that eat it. And as our society grows larger and larger, there are fewer and fewer and fewer people producing quality food. Now, when you eat your food, you're looking for food that is a replacement part. You want replacement parts. You want the food that you eat to be able to reproduce the cells in your body that are damaged and need replacing. So if you have a weak heart, you want to eat food that's going to give you good replacement parts to replace the damaged cells in your heart, or liver, or gallbladder, or ovaries, or whatever the organ may be. So for that to happen, you have to have food supplements that are quality in nature. And that's why he and I use Standard Process products. They go back to 1929. The first product that was formulated in 1929 by Standard Process was called Catalin. Catalin. Dr. Royal Lee is the founder of Standard Process. An interesting thing about Catalin is that it was first formulated not as a multivitamin and mineral like we use it today, but it was formulated to treat female hormonal problems. It's very good at doing that. But over the years, Catalin has become Standard Process's multivitamin and mineral. Now, the other interesting thing is that whenever they do research, and you realize that every year new vitamins, new components are being discovered. You know that? I see some heads going like this. But yes, they do. And whenever they go back to Catalin and they look at the combination of Catalin, which is a whole food supplement, these new particles, new vitamins and minerals, are already in Catalin. Now, how is that possible? Because this is a whole food product. Whole food products always have all of their own synergists, all of their own things that make them work effectively in your body. So now somebody says to me, well, what about the multivitamins at Walmart? Well, whenever you look at vitamins or minerals that are not produced by vitamin and mineral companies that have an understanding of what a vitamin and mineral is, whenever they're produced by companies that do not understand that, they're produced primarily by pharmaceutical companies, and they're sold under other labels. And when they do that, they are extracting and chemically combining whatever they want to be in that particular substance, which is something that you probably cannot use. Now, that might be shocking. Did you ever think about that? That there might be something that is you like and you think is helping you, but it's actually not helping you at all? Tonight, I'm going to show you how to find that out. What works and what doesn't work. Would you believe that if I tested you and I lined up three standard processed products that are designed to treat a particular problem like a heart, that you may be only be able to take one of the three, that your body wouldn't accept the other two? That's the way it works. Now, when we talk about, somebody says, well, can you tell me what, if I have high blood pressure, what supplements should I take for high blood pressure? Well, we would say, how about Cardio Plus? That's standard processed product. Let's take Cardio Plus. How about Cataplex E2? E2 will create a vasodilation of all the arteries in your body, which will lower your blood pressure. Let's use those too. Would it be safe to say that not everybody in this room could use those? That's correct, even though they're standard processed products. So when I started studying under Dr. Euland, I found out one thing real quick, that when we talk about symptoms, vitamins and minerals, standard processed products that are prescribed for symptoms, is one thing. Standard processed products that are prescribed for a patient with a problem is another. Those are two different things, completely two different things. Now, on your study sheet there, it says that nutrition response testing is based upon the autonomic nervous system. Autonomic. Rusty has talked about this, and we want to talk a little bit longer about it, go into a little more detail because it's important. The autonomic nervous system is called the autonomic nervous system, number two it says, because autonomic is for autonomous. And if we say that somebody is autonomous, what does that mean? That means they're not responsible to reporting to anybody. They're on their own. They're the chief cheese, okay? They're autonomous. So you have an autonomic nervous system in your body that's autonomous. So right now, how many people can tell me what your heartbeat is? How many people can tell me if your heart's beating? Oh. What we're saying here is that you're not consciously thinking about that. You're not consciously thinking about your breathing. You're not thinking about your rate of digestion. You're not thinking about any of that. That's all under the autonomic nervous system. You don't think about breathing at night when you're sleeping, do you? No, it just happens. That's the autonomic nervous system. Now, the autonomic nervous system has two parts, number two there. It says the autonomic nervous system, autonomic for autonomous, has two parts. The sympathetic nervous system, which acts to accelerate the body. And the parasympathetic nervous system, which slows the body down. So when we talk about the autonomic nervous system, it has two parts. It has the sympathetic, which speeds you up. And you notice there I said it's like your car's gas pedal. That's exactly what it's like. And then you have the parasympathetic nervous system, which slows the body down, like your brakes. Now, if you're driving down the road and both of these components, your accelerator and your brakes, are working fine, you're going to get to your destination. However, if you're going down the road and your car shuts off, no acceleration, you're not going to get to the destination. If you're driving down the road, the accelerator sticks wide open, and you have no brakes, you may or may not get to your destination. Okay? So the point we're making here is the two have to be in balance. Now, if one of these gets out of balance, then you'll get symptoms. So number three, whenever these two subsystems get out of balance, you may become ill or develop signs and symptoms. You may become ill or develop signs and symptoms. So here you are. You lay down to go to sleep at night, and you can't sleep. Well, what's the problem? Which one of these systems would be malfunctioning? Parasympathetic. Why? Didn't slow you down, okay? When the parasympathetic nervous system becomes overloaded and cannot regain balance, the body needs nutritional assistance in the form of potassium and magnesium. Potassium and magnesium. And these are what we call alkaline ash minerals. And these are found in green leafy vegetables, and they support this system. Number five, when the sympathetic nervous system becomes overloaded and cannot regain balance, the body needs nutritional assistance in the form of phosphorus. Phosphorus. This is an alkaline ash. No, I'm sorry. That should be acid ash mineral, not alkaline. So scratch out alkaline. Should be acid ash mineral. Now, when we think about the relationship between these two parts of the autonomic nervous system, the parasympathetic and the sympathetics, we find that minerals trigger their responses. There are other things that affect their responses too, but these two minerals are important. So we talk about phosphorus. Phosphorus is something that if you put phosphorus in a fire, what does that do to the fire? Accelerates it, right? That's exactly what phosphorus does in your body. It's an accelerator. It speeds your system up. You burn, per se. You burn faster. You burn more. Number six, clinical evaluations of thousands of patients through muscle testing has demonstrated nutritional health is most commonly compromised by five major stressors. Now, before we talk about the five major stressors, we want to talk about muscle testing. Let's see, I'd use you, but you're gimpy. No, we can use you. When you muscle test, I want you to test each other here. Let's hold your arm out for me. To have your partner hold their arm out just like this, and then just press down slightly and have them resist, okay? And you'll feel, when you do that, you'll feel the muscles in the shoulder lock, okay? So let's try that. Just try that with the person beside you.
I used to do it to my kids.
Did you?
Yeah, that's good.
Put it up in here. Feel it right here.
Okay, everybody feel that? Now, I want to know if anybody has an arm that they can't hold up, that just goes down. It doesn't lock. Anybody have a non-locking arm? Is yours locking?
Not so much.
Okay. His arm is not locking. Okay, let's just take a look at this. Now, going to resist? No, his arm doesn't lock. You can push it right through the range here. Now, if his arm was locking, it would go about like that and stop, okay? So his arm's not locking. Now, let's check your other arm. Oh, excuse me. So he's got two non-locking arms. Now, the question is, why aren't his arms locking?
No key.
Let's lay down on the floor for me. Head down there.
On the back?
On the back, please. Now, let's hold up your right leg for me. Now, you're going to resist me. His right leg doesn't lock either. Okay, how about your left leg? Left leg doesn't lock either. Okay, now you can have a seat there. Thank you. Now the question is, if this guy comes into my office, what am I going to do with him? Because I'm going to use muscle testing to test him, and he's not testable. He's not testable because he has no lock. So let's see what we can find out about this particular problem. When we talk about stressors in the body, we're talking about anything that comes into your system that creates a problem and blocks the normal flow of nerve energy. Now, when we talk about nerves, we're talking about the energy flowing down the course of a nerve, wherever that nerve might be in your body. You can describe it as electrical. You can describe it as electromagnetic. It has those characteristics. When I talk to you about what we're discussing tonight, I'm talking about electromagnetic energy, okay? That's what we're talking about. Now, when we look at your body, Rusty had this up on the screen up here in the very earliest modules. You remember the picture of the man with all of the nerves outlined on his body? You remember that? Okay, that was a picture, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that was a picture of a man with a sympathetic nervous system. Okay, is that correct? The sympathetic nerves, remember we talked about this, the sympathetic nerves are the ones that come closest to the surface of your body. 80% of your skin is covered by sympathetic nerves. So what we want to do is we want to test those sympathetic nerves. And the cool thing about sympathetic nerves is that they are related to your internal organs. So we can find specific sites on your skin if we know those sites or those points. And we can say this is a point for the heart, or this is a point for sinuses, or whatever it may be. So that's what we're going to be talking about for a few minutes here. Now, anytime that we test a patient, we have to find out if they are having problems with these five stressors. Now, on your sheet, it says stressor number one, item 7, the first major category is food allergies. Food allergies. And these would be found in the stomach. The liver. The gallbladder. Pancreas. And the bowel. Stomach, liver, gallbladder, pancreas, and the bowel. So that's stressor number one. Stressor number two would be metal toxicity. This is most often found in the parotid, P-A-R-O-T-I-D, P-A-R-O-T-I-D, parotid gland. Stressor number three is chemical toxicity. This is also most often found in the parotid gland. Stressor number four would be what we call the immune challenge. And these would fall into the categories of bacterial, viral, yeast, fungus slash molds, and parasites. And stressor number 5, under number 11, would be scars. Scars from old injuries and surgeries. Now, the body will not respond properly if to nutritional therapy if you do not address these five stressors first. If there's any kind of interference with these five stressors, you won't get the kind of response you're looking for. Now, if I could have Rusty and Barb bring that table up here for me, please. Down's fine. Now, remember you just did a little muscle testing a little while ago. Now I want you to stand up, and I want you to test the person beside you standing up and tell me if it makes any difference. Okay, now, is anybody now strong that was weak prior or weak that was strong prior from the change of position? Nobody?
I'd have to say I was weak now standing, but when I was sitting, I was strong.
Okay. Let's have you sit again right up here for us, and we'll just test her. Resisting. Okay, now let's stand. And resisting. Okay, so there's not much doubt about it. Okay, now let's lay down on your back for me. Now let's just check this arm again in this position. Okay, resisting. Okay, so she's strong. So she's strong sitting, she's strong laying down, but she's weak standing up. Okay, now let's stand up for us, please. Now, when I see a patient like this, this tells me that she has something going on in her nervous system, and that when I test her, I want to test her in her weakest position. I want to find out where her problems are at, so I would have to test her standing up, okay, to see what's going on. Now, with him, it doesn't make any difference so far. Let's come over and lay down on your back. Okay, now let's hold this arm up for me here. And resisting. Whoa! See that?
That's wild.
Now, he's laying down and he's strong. So, if I test him, I'm not going to get the results I want unless I test him in the weakest position. So, I would have to test him standing or sitting, right? Okay, so let's hop up for me. So now we've established that fact. Now we're going to find out what makes her and him like that. When we test patients, we want to find out if their nervous system is responding to the tester. I'm the tester, okay? Now, I'm going to put my hand over her ear here, and I'm going to ask her to resist. Okay? Can you resist? She can't resist. Take my hand away. Okay. She's strong again. Now, that's not voodoo. What that is me interfering temporarily with her nervous system, her sympathetic nervous system. The vagus nerve, largest sympathetic nerve in the body, passes up this way and comes closest to the surface of the skin here and at her belly button. So I could test her at her ear or at her belly button with the same results. Let's test where your belly button's at. Just point the area there. You don't have to show it to me. I know it's personal.
Don't miss the piercing.
Okay. Okay. So we're going to test her here sitting. Okay. Again? You got a little weakness there, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She's screwed up.
What's new?
Okay. Let's have you come up here and stand for me, because that you are weak standing, correct? Let's come right over on this side so everybody can see and just turn around and face the group here. Now, I'm going to have you resist. Okay, he has no lock. Now, I'm going to interfere with his nervous system here. Now, look what happens. He gets strong immediately. So, you're screwed up too.
Thank you.
Now, don't run away. Don't run away. Come back over here.
We want to see
if there's anything that's interfering with his normal nervous flow right now.
Probably his wife.
No, well, come down this way a little further. Okay, so he's weak now, so let's have him take his glasses off first. Just put the glasses on the chair behind you. Okay, let's see if that changes anything. Nothing. Okay, let's take out your wallet. I don't want it. You can give it to her. Let's give it to her so it'll be a little further away. Okay, let's see if there's anything going on there. Nothing. Okay, anything in your pockets? Empty one pocket at a time. Okay. Now, how is it you're strong now and you weren't just a minute ago? Okay, give him his keys back. Just hold your keys in your hand. Okay. So what are we saying here? We're saying that the keys... Wise choice. You have some tinfoil?
That's how you do it.
Do you have some tinfoil?
Yes, sir.
Could you get a little tinfoil? We're saying, don't run away, I'm not done with you yet. Okay. We're saying that probably the chip in the key here, actually, you want to take the key off there? We can get real specific here. Take the key off of there. You can put your glasses back on so you can see what you're doing. That's not a factor at this point. Now, just to be sure, I'm going to have you hold the key there. We'll test you again with your glasses on. Okay, he's a little bit stronger now than he was, but he's still weak. Okay, we're going to give him the key. Key makes him real strong. How's that possible? Okay, now let's give him the rest of the key fob there. Key fob makes him real weak. So, there's something going on between all of this and his nervous system. Now he's strong. Why is that? Because the neurological interference that he's getting from something in here is upsetting his nervous system. Now this is not an uncommon finding. This is quite common. If you look on the bottom of your study sheet there, you'll see a list on the bottom of your study sheet that shows the major factors that can interfere with your nervous system. Okay? And those factors have to be dealt with if you want to get better health-wise. So if you were my patient, I would tell you we would go through and test each specific item here and find out which one it actually is. Then I would tell you, if you're going to keep that item on your body, you have to wrap it in tin foil, because the tin foil will negate the electrical energy coming out of that item that's upsetting your nervous system. He's a perfect example. You don't find this very often, but once you do, this guy will never get well. He can take supplements till he's blue in the face, and he has this on his body without any tin foil on it. He's just flushing his money. It's as simple as that. Now, am I over time here?
No.
Okay. Let's see if he has any other kinds of problems. Okay, so let's come up here again and see. You were okay laying down, but you're weak standing up, right? Okay. Now, let's test this guy. We'll test him using the nutritional response testing. I'll just go through this. We're going to test his brain functions first. That's forebrain there. If you have weepy people, you know any weepy people that cry at the drop of a hat? Okay, these are people that need min checks from Standard Process because they are weepy all the time. The ones that are listless and brain dead, those are the ones that need Mintran, okay? They have no clue what's going on. You know, the life's passing them by and they're just sitting in the chair, okay? That's what they need. Okay, here we're in the center part of the brain. This is usually a lymphatic problem here. He's okay. Back part of the brain where all the men go bald, he's okay. Lower part of the brain down here, this is short-term memory. Again, matching my resistance, and he's weak on that. Okay, Rusty, would you make a note of what he's weak on here for me, please?
So what was the last one?
Just put cerebellum down. Okay, so he's weak on the cerebellum here. You tell me if your arm gets tired, and we'll use the other one, okay?
Okay.
Okay, now that's a problem there. Anything up here in the pituitary? No. Frontal sinuses? No. Maxillary sinuses, no. Upper jaw, no. Lower jaw, no. We're going to come down here. We're going to check his tonsils. Yeah, he has his weakness on his tonsils. So note, he's got a problem there. Let's check his thyroid. Thyroid's good. Parathyroid's good. Right lung, good. Mediastinum, good. Left lung, good. Heart, good. Spleen, again. He's got a weak spleen, so write that one down. Liver, good. Gallbladder, it's good. Small intestine, good. Doing the large intestine. Ascending. Okay, again. Okay. Prostate. Okay. Now let's check back here. Let's use your other arm.
All right.
So you don't pass out on me here. Okay. Kidneys. Good. Good. Adrenals. Good. Okay. So how many weaknesses do we have here?
Three.
Okay, we have three weaknesses on him at this particular point in time. Now, let's see if any of the stressors have any effect on his weakness, okay? Now, the stressors I brought along are in these little cases here. And what we have in these cases are the homeopathic components of the stressors. For example, this is heavy metal over here on this side. So we have aluminum and arsenic and cadmium and iron and lead and mercury and nickel, zinc, titanium. Over on this side, we have the what we call the toxic chemicals. And these would be acetates like you have in dry cleaning fluid. Chlorine, for all you people that take a shower in chlorine or in your swimming pool. Food dyes, food preservatives, hydrocarbons, if you're breathing exhaust fumes, that's one. Medications, perfumes and fragrances, pesticides, petrosolvents and alcohol, plastic mixes, latex problems, okay? In this one, we have the most common allergies to foods. So we have wheat, oats, rye, soy, brown rice, all the way down the list, all the sugars. We have milk, cheese, eggs, so on and so forth. And then over on this side, we have the immune challenges. In other words, does the patient have a problem with bacteria, with viruses, with parasites, or with fungus? Okay? Now, according to what we're saying here is, he'll never get well until first we correct his electrical problems, and number two, we find out if there's any stressors involved in his life. So let's come over here again.
He's stress-free.
He's stress-free, huh? Doesn't appear to be that way. Okay, so now we're going to check him here, and he's going to resist me. Now, he's strong. So this is the first problem in treating this guy. He is all messed up neurologically. So let's see why he's like this. Well, we found out a little while ago that he had problems with the keys, so that's one of the potential problems. Let's take your little finger and thumb, put it together on that hand, okay? And you're going to resist, okay? You can relax that one. Over here, same thing. Okay, he's not switched out. On some patients, what that means is, it's called neurogenic switching, what that means is that the right side of the body is not communicating with the left side of the body. So you're not getting any cross-communication, so they have problems. He seems to be okay there, all right? So let's see if he has any kind of food problems. Now, before we get too far, let's go back here and test him here, and he's strong. So we want to see the key fob down there, and let's see if that's what does it.
That's weird.
Yep. So that makes him... That key fob makes him normal.
Oh, well, give me that.
Yeah, that makes him normal. So now it's quite confusing. Why is he normal? Okay, with all this extra energy. So let's see if there's anything else that makes him normal.
So the resistance.
Okay, you're going to hold that against your belly button just like that. But let's do it a little differently. Let's kind of turn that like that. Okay, that's good. Okay, now you're going to resist here. Okay, I'm going to let that flop down here. Okay, he's normal on foods. Okay, so let's go back this way. It's normal on that. Now let's kind of hold just on the plastic part of the case there. Normal on that. Okay, now we got a problem. So he's got some type of chemical toxicity. Do you work around any of these?
Probably some cleaning stuff at my office. Food preservatives, yeah, I'm not eating the best.
Okay.
Pesticides, probably neighbors' lawns, right? The chemicals from grass treatments.
Okay.
Formaldehyde, probably in the office as well.
Okay, we'll just take one of these out here and see if we find what the problem is. Okay. So we're going to give that back to him. Just let him hold it there. Okay. So what's he got a problem with? Well, he's got a problem with dry cleaning fluids. So he has chemical poisoning from dry cleaning fluids. Okay. So that means that we won't be able to help him until we clear that stressor. So would you get some parotid over there out of the test kit, please, and a Cholecol too. So we need to make sure that he's going to be able to clear that, okay? Why don't you, just bring those up here and set them on a couple of chairs here. That'd be easier if we did it that way. You're okay there. These are all herbals here, so we'll take those away for now. Let's see. Let's put one of these on each chair. Okay. So parotid should be in here. It's probably got the label worn off of it. It's probably over here somewhere. There's parotid. Yeah, it's probably got the label off too. Okay, so we're going to give him dry cleaning fluid, container to hold on to. And let's test him again. And he has a problem with that in his body. So if we give him some parotid to take to clean that up, he gets strong again.
That's just holding it.
Just holding it, right.
Just holding it.
Now when I'm actually treating patients, what I do, and you'll see me do that in a minute, is take the tablets right out of the bottle and give him the actual dosage. Now he's okay with the parotid and things are working there, okay? He's weak. This should be a normal response. We'll add Cholecol 2. See if that changes things. Well, that's Cholecol. I need Cholecol 2. Thank you. Okay. See if he needs Cholecol 2 here. The body says, yes, we need Cholecol 2 too. So now we know what the problem is and we know what the correction is up to this point. So do we have wheat germ oil there by any chance, please? Probably in there. Wheat germ oil. Okay. Now, do you have any scars on your body?
Just like little ones from kids' stuff. Nothing.
Okay.
Like scar on my knee.
All right. Let's give him the wheat germ oil because this is what we'd use to clear the scars up. And he's okay. He doesn't have any scars that are evident at this particular point in time. Now, if the patient has a scar on their body, which could be a surgical scar, a fall, you know, down. In females, scars come in two different types, episiotomy scars from pregnancy Umbilical scars from the umbilical cord being severed, that can be a scar too, or cesarean scars. Now, when we talk about scarring, it's extremely important to understand that the closer the scars are to the midline of the body, the worse it is, because these are the major meridian energy points here, and they will upset the apple cart, okay?
I mean, the scar should be like this and not like this.
It really doesn't matter which direction the scar goes, but if the scar is found anywhere in the midline, okay, then it can create a problem.
So like an umbilical scar from would be...
Mm-hmm. Now, let's see where we're at, because you were weak sitting too, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's sit down and see if we've got any muscle strength here. Yes, he's strong now. So we found out that he had three problems before we went to look for the stressors. And now we found out that he has chemical toxicity. He has to clean that up. So let's take the wheat germ oil out and put those two in your pocket for a minute. Now, is he strong seated? Yes. Okay, he's strong standing. Now, you were strong when you were laying down before, right?
Right.
Okay, let's see if he's still strong laying down. Leave those in there for me, please. Okay. He's strong laying down. Now, when we found all those weaknesses in your organs, you were standing, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so let's stand him back up. And let's see if the parotid and the cholecalciferol 2 had any effect on what we found earlier. Okay? So what was the first one we found? Cerebellum? Okay, so let's see, did it affect his brain function? In other words, does his chemical toxicity affect any other organs in his body? Remember, we went through first and found the weak organs. Okay? So let's check. No, it has no effect on his brain. Okay, what was the next one?
Tonsils.
Whoa, looky there. Tonsils are very strong now. So what does that mean? That means his tonsils are engaged in warfare, trying to get rid of the chemical toxicity in his body. So that's why they were weak to begin with. Okay? Now, what was our third one? Spleen? Okay. Now, would you expect spleen to be strong or weak? Well, what does spleen do? It manufactures red blood cells, right? Okay, so let's see here. Rock hard. So now here, let me summarize what you just saw. You saw an evaluation of a patient that had three organ weaknesses, and if we would have said to the patient, well, you're going to need to take spleen concentrate, you're going to need to take immune material for your tonsils, and you're going to take RNA for your brain, we would have given him two out of three things that he didn't need. You see what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? You don't see what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Now, can we fix his brain?
No.
Go for it.
Go for it?
Okay. I don't want to be there.
Exactly.
I see.
Oh, let's see. What a crew we have here. RNA. Right there. Okay. The nutrition that we give the brain is called RNA, ribonucleic acid. And so we're going to see if his body needs any RNA. Okay. His body says, yes, I need RNA to make me strong. Now, people who have this problem back here with RNA are typically people that are thinkers. And they think a lot, and they're in front of computer screens a lot. You would probably be a good candidate for that. You know, that particular problem. Yeah, 8 hours a day?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So unless he supplements this back here on a regular basis for all the time that he's in front of the computer screen, he's going to burn this out. And then the first thing that he'll say is, I can't remember what I did yesterday. His short-term memory starts to go. So when that happens, that tells me that he's got a problem back here, most likely. Now, what I want you to take away from this is the fact that we had to work our way down through the layers of the potential problems to find the actual cause of the problem. See, the real cause of two of his three organ problems is the chemical toxicity. It's not a malfunction in the organ. But up here, it's simple organ malfunction. Now, let's see what he needs to get himself fixed. We'll start with the RNA. We'll leave that open. We'll give him three RNA. Just hold those in your hand. We're going to test you with those three. Okay. Resisting? Okay. Now you're going to give me one back. I'm going to test again. And he's weak. So what does this mean? He needs exactly three RNA. That's what it means. Now let's just test him. And let's say I was guessing. Let's say he needs four RNA. So let's give him four and see what happens. See if his body wants four. See that? His body doesn't want four. His body wants exactly three. No more, no less. So that's how, when I tell you that muscle testing, when it's applied in a very unique manner and specific manner, it is actually very specific. So we could send him out of here with a bottle of RNA and say, take six a day. We think you got brain problems. Okay? Or we could say, send him out of here with a bottle of an RNA and say, take three a day. Now, will he always have to take three a day? I don't know. He doesn't know. Nobody knows. So that's why we would test him. In a case like this, I would have him come back in 1 week, and I would go through his entire system again and test his dosages. Okay? So now he has three RNAs. So let's put the three RNAs in the cap there. And we're going to have you just hold those in your hand. And let's take the parotids first. And this is for the chemical toxicity. We'll see, does he need three parotids? Okay, I'm going to test. It doesn't matter. We'll test on this side here. Three parotids. Okay. Body says that's good. Let's take away, parotid was on this side, correct? Let's take away one parotid and say, do you need two parotids? Body says, no, I need three. So we give him three parotids. Okay. Now let's get the Cholecol 2 out. Now, parotid is designed to work in the system, and what it actually does is kicks the toxicity components out of the parotid gland, puts it back into the bloodstream. Now, if you do not have a follow-up or some way to latch on to the chemical toxicity that comes out of the parotid gland, then it will continue to go into the body and lock into another organ. Then you'll find that organ with a problem, toxic chemical toxicity problem. So you have to have the Cholecol 2 as the leaching agent or the attachment agent. We're just going to lay those beside you there. So we'll see if Cholecol 2 is enough. Yes, 2 is enough. How about if we just give him 1? 1 is not enough. So he gets weak again. So the whole key here is to make sure that we have strong muscles. So now those are his dosages at this particular point. Now, can he take this supplement? That's the next question. Did you realize that people are allergic to supplements? People are allergic to standard process supplements. So how would I check him to see if he's allergic? There's a point right up here below his ear, behind his jaw, that we use to test that. And if he was allergic, this point would show weakness, and it does not. Now, the other question is, does any of the nutrition interfere with this patient's nervous system? Because it could, right? And we've been using the test over the vagus ear here. So we'll go back and see, is this strong or weak? And it's weak, which is what it's supposed to be. Now, we could also test over his belly button. And he's weak, which is what he should be. So in this particular case, his treatment would be the 3 RNA, 3 parotid, and 2 Cholecol 2. And you'd take that.
On top of the kaolin, the fish oil, the B12, and the already taken.
What I would tell you is you continue taking that, but on your next visit, you bring those in. And let me check you on those, okay? Because you may need those. In other words, Those may be components of what's making you right now, but it may not be. Mm-hmm. Now let's see what happens here. We take all this off of him. And we're going to send him home just like he came in the office. See? Okay. Now, let's sit down. He's strong. Okay. Now, how could that be? Because he's actually absorbed some of the energy from the nutrition. Now, when I say that, what am I saying? I'm saying that your body, your supercomputer here, is sensitive enough to know whether this component is good or bad for it. And number two, it's sensitive enough to absorb it right away when it realizes it's good for it. Now, if we wait a few minutes, which we're going to wait in his particular case, we're going to test him again and see how long it takes for that to go away, for him to go right back to where he was, okay? Thanks for being my patient. Okay?
Now, I know people are going to ask this in the future, Rodney. Dave, where do you get those special test shirts like you wore in tonight?
I'll take orders afterwards.
Yeah, I was going to say, those are on sale tonight.
So, in closing, there is one thing I want to talk to you about, and that's the difference between pharmaceuticals, nutraceuticals, and whole food supplements. Okay? Those are the three categories that most chemical components come in that are going to introduce some kind of change in your body. Pharmaceuticals are what you know about. Okay, those are i.e. drugs. Okay? Pharmaceuticals are put together in a laboratory, and the purpose of the pharmaceutical is to bypass your nervous system. To bypass your nervous system. Now, why is that important? Because if the nervous system recognizes the pharmaceutical inside your body, what's it going to do with it? It's going to kick it out. It's going to throw it right into the liver, and the liver's either going to try to filter it out, and if it can't filter it out, it will seal it off so it can't poison you. Pharmaceuticals create super chemical reactions. Okay? The safety net that your nervous system provides is void whenever you take a pharmaceutical. That's why pharmaceuticals keep dead people alive, because they pass the nervous system. You understand what I'm saying there? That's why it keeps dead people alive. The second category is nutraceuticals. Nutraceuticals would be those components that we call herbs. Okay? Now, when we talk about pharmaceuticals, pharmaceuticals have no therapeutic beneficial effect other than to keep the chemical reactions going in your system. That's it. Well, you say, well, that might be pretty good. Well, it is pretty good from the standpoint that it saves your life, but it's not good from the longevity standpoint because the body can't continue to function like that. The nutraceuticals are products like herbs that create chemical reactions in the body, and they have no therapeutic effect, but they have few or none harmful side effects. Okay? That's nutraceuticals. Whole food supplements are the only products that can rebuild a broken down, degenerated organ. Okay? So if we find that you have a weak heart, then we need to give you the nutrition to rebuild the cells in that weak heart. We don't want to fool the heart by giving it a chemical and making it think it's functioning properly when it's not. Okay? We don't want to do that. So that's why when it comes to health, I use the whole food supplements. That's my first course of care. Now, occasionally you get patients, or I get patients, Rusty gets patients that are too far over the hill, too far over the edge to respond to whole food supplements quickly. In other words, they need some intervention on a sooner basis, so to speak. So then you go to MediHerbs or the herbal products, okay? That's when I would use an herbal product. And if you get a patient that comes in and is really out of it and is on the way to out, so to speak, then they get pharmaceuticals and you would refer them out to their medical doctor, okay? So whole food supplements, nutraceuticals, pharmaceuticals. That's the way it works when I look at a patient from this standpoint. Any questions?
It's now easy to see why medical doctors don't like you guys so much.
Right.
It's very understandable.
Right.
Because they don't go through this. I've never seen anything like this in a doctor's office.
Well, the thing of it is that what we do borders on miracles. I mean, where could you go and get this kind of specificity with a product that will not hurt you and get you better? I mean, that is a miracle. The success rate of nutritional response testing is 90%. That's 9 out of every 10 patients that walk in the door get better. So you can see that it's quite astounding. For you to see what I've done here is difficult to wrap your mind around it. And I was in your seat when I went to the first seminar and I saw this kind of thing done. So I was telling another couple that attends here the last month, the first nutrition seminar I went to was in Detroit. It was given by Dr. Versendahl, and he was the originator of contact reflex analysis. Dr. Euland studied under Dr. Versendahl and originated nutritional response testing. When I went into the seminar, before I went to the seminar, Dr. Versendahl said to all the doctors that registered, I want you to bring me your toughest patient, the one you've worked on and can't get well. Well, you know, if you've got 100 doctors coming from 2 or 3 states, they're going to bring some pretty challenging patients. And this one doctor brought in a gal that had Parkinson's. Now, how many people do you know that can create any changes in a Parkinson's patient? None. You can find medicines that will cover up their symptomatology for a while, but it will not do anything to rebuild their nervous system. And Dr. Versendahl was standing up on the stage, it was about a 4-foot stage, and in the treating part of the seminar, this father and brother wheeled up to the stage, the father's daughter, Parkinson's. They picked her up out of the wheelchair, walked up the steps on the stage, and put her on adjusting bench like this, and she sat down, or they put her down there. And Dr. Versendahl worked on her, and he said, I'm going to change things in your body electrically right now to see if you're going to respond to what we're going to do to you nutritionally. In other words, he was going to change the precursors of the electrical components of the nutrition. That's what he's actually doing. So he worked with her there for about 2 or 3 minutes, and in 3 minutes, she could stand up off of the seat without. Now, did you ever see that happen? I never did. So he told her, he says, now this is what's going to happen. He says, you're going to get better. He says, in 6 months, you're going to be walking. She hadn't walked, or I forget how long. It was quite some time. He says, 6 months, you're going to be walking. He says, in 1 year, he says, you're going to be walking almost perfectly. And he says, it's about 1.5 years, everything should be right. Okay? To me, I was where you were at. I said, ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. And I just dismissed it completely. You know, when you see something that is so challenging to your mind, so incomprehensible, you dismiss it. I do, at least. So I dismissed it. I went to the seminar a year later, back up in Detroit. I'd forgotten all about that. Here comes this girl into the seminar. She's walking into the seminar, just like he said she would. Here she comes. The only thing that was showing deficiency was her gait. She was walking like this, but she was walking into the seminar. She walked into the seminar, and as soon as she walked into the seminar, I recognized her. She sat down, and the seminar proceeded, and then he called her up, you know, in the course of the seminar, and he checked her again. He said, well, he says, I see everything is going as I told you it was going to go. She said, yes, that's correct. She says, everything, I've taken the nutrition faithfully, just like you instructed me, and I'm getting better. He says, well, he says, and then he checked her, and he changed the protocol a little bit, refined it, fine-tuned it, and he says, do this, and then 6 months later, he says, you'll be over it. Now, where does that happen? It doesn't happen anywhere that I know of in the medical realm. You know what I found out in practice? I found out that some people don't want to get well. You know that? Some people do not want to get well. Some people take their maladies and they wear them like badges. And they want sympathy. They want attention. They want all those kinds of things. And those people come into your office. I had a guy come into my office that had Parkinson's. And I knew that if I followed the same format that Dr. Versendahl had, he would get better. You know what he told me? Get at this. This is what he told me. He says, I think that what you're going to do will help me. He says, but I'm not going to do it. And I thought, what? How could you say something like that? Who wouldn't want to walk? I mean, who wouldn't want to walk? I said, why aren't you going to do it? He says, I don't want to lose my disability. Can you believe that? I don't want to lose my disability.
Yep, I believe.
So here's this guy taking money and disability, passing up a chance to walk. But that's people. You've been a great audience. If you want me to check you or whatever, look your situation over, I'll stay here until everybody gets done. Okay? Thank you.
That's good,
Ron. Thank you.
You're welcome.